The SBS Cycling Podcast is brought to you by Tanara.
Bonjour, bonjour, bonjour. Welcome to the SBS Cycling Podcast. We are doing it very specially today, Maka, because we are on our way from the exit of the stage of the Tour de France. We are walking towards the télécabine. This is our exit. Whew. We are, what a stage and what a way to end the time in the Pyrenees.
It is crazy. We are walking down the steps as we speak to get to the tally cabin. The riders were all crammed in as well. They didn't want to descend because the weather was pretty average. And I think we're going to get a clean run, which we're all pretty happy about.
We are crossing fingers, absolutely. I think we are going to enter with members of the public. So it might be a tram in Nice all over again. Remember when we did this podcast in Nice? That was just fantastic.
We just got to wait. Oh, no, they're calling us through.
We can go. This is our... we have to wait a little bit.
We have to wait a little bit. So there's a bit of confusion.
We just wanted to capture this as we speak. But what a stage, Maka, today. What a winner. And we saw a lot of people on the climb. And we saw, of course, a wonderful, wonderful stage with a lot of action on the stage today.
Yes, yeah, certainly did. I mean, it was always set to be a big stage, wasn't it? As we step onto the tally cabin, still
it's
speaking.
It's a bit wobbly.
I'll sit next to you to make it easier.
It's a bit wobbly. So, and the public here is going to enjoy our live podcast.
Well, they don't have a choice. They're going to have to listen to us whether they like it or not now.
Yeah, absolutely. So it reminds me of the one, like I mentioned, the one we did in Nice.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Now we're sitting in a tally cabin. We can talk about the stage.
Yes.
Let's take a large breath.
Yeah.
What a stage.
Yeah, incredible. I mean, the weather was looking dicey at the start. It was wet. We were situated overnight at the base of the final climb, Super Bagnier, and it was misty. We get to the top. We caught the tally cabin up as well, and it was foggy. You couldn't see more than 20 metres ahead of you. Break went. We expected it to go. It took a while to go, though, didn't it?
It
actually went on the Tourmalet, and Lenny Martinez, I mean, he was brilliant early on.
I'm going to have to do it. I'm in the telecabin, but Lenny Martinez. Yeah, I have to do it. Thank you.
He was. He took maximum points No shame at all. We don't have any, do we? He took maximum points over the Tourmalet, and that was a real moment, wasn't it, for him?
Yeah.
Being a Frenchman, his grandfather wore the polka dot jersey. He's still with us, his grandfather, Kino said in the commentary. And... taking maximum points, massive crowd of Frenchmen. It was cool. He didn't win the stage, but he's put himself really in the mix to win that jersey.
So we have a winner on this stage, of course, Arensman. That was a good pick on that day because Arensman was solid today. He was solid. He was the last remaining of the breakaway, of 20 riders, as you mentioned. What a performance from Arensman.
Yeah, he was brilliant. He was brilliant. And you know what? I'm happy for him. He's copped some criticism at Ineos Grenadiers, not from the team, but in general. You know, he was touted as the next big thing. Yes, he's had some great results, but when they say next big thing, they mean podium on a Grand Tour. Mm-hmm. He's not going to podium here, but now he's won a stage and arguably the Queen's stage, and he did it solo. It was a huge ride.
Is this making the tour so far for Ineos? Because the performance was not the most fantastic they ever had with the curriculum that they have.
For a super team, super budget. Yeah.
So of course, a stage win is probably not enough for a team like this, but that's a good start.
Yeah.
In the second week of the
tour. Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And sometimes you've got to lower your colours, I guess, before you can rebuild. And, you know, Zach Dempster, the Aussie at the helm, it's good for him to get a victory as well. So in some ways you can argue they're on the beginning of a rebuild almost. Geraint Thomas is still here, but this is it for him. This is his final Tour de France. We're not sure how much longer Egan Bernal will keep racing. So they're beginning, I suppose, a rebuild in some shape or form. So this is potentially the start of the new beginning for them.
Let's talk now about Pogacar and the battle with Jonas Vingegaard, which happened a little bit here again.
He taped his nose shut today, Pogacar. No, I'm joking.
Yeah. otherwise, that would have been unfair.
He was cruising. He was cruising, wasn't he?
But Pogacar, when we saw the attack from Vingegaard, he didn't even lift up on his bike. He caught him back,
staying in the saddle.
That moment for me
If you're from the Visma team, you look at this, you go, what do we need to do? What do we need to do to crack the guy?
Well, that's it. There's not much else they can do. You know, and Vingegaard attacked.
Yeah.
He did everything right.
But they're giving it a go.
They're giving it a go, absolutely. And I mean, they had numbers there at one point. Victor Campenaerts was into the last 15 riders. I've never seen him climb
His aero helmet.
Still in his aero helmet. He's addicted to aerodynamics, Victor Campenaerts.
Clearly.
But yeah, I mean, he was brilliant. So, you can't. Pog needs to crash again badly, which we don't want that to happen. He needs to get sick, or something really needs to go wrong. He needs to capitulate. And at the moment, heading almost to the second rest day, he's not looking like doing that.
And Pog dropped Vingegaard only just a few meters. But tell me, does these few meters still count psychologically?
Yeah,
someone like Vingegaard, or someone like Vingegaard is strong enough to not be receiving all those little attacks.
Well, what's interesting about all of this is that, as crazy as it sounds, it's true. Vingegaard's getting closer to Pog.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Pog pulled a lot of time on him up the Ortecam. He pulled a lot of time on him on the first individual time trial. Mm-hmm. He pulled less on the second individual TT, which was 24 hours ago, and he pulled even less today on a summit finish with 5,000 vertical. So you can argue that Vingegaard's trajectory is going in the right direction. Well, it is going in the right direction. The problem is Pog is still beating him and still taking time on him. So it's going to be a really interesting third week. And again, unless we see a chink in the armour from Pog, which it doesn't look like, he's in a very, very comfortable and solid position.
Yeah, let's talk about the Aussies as well. Now, Ben O'Connor was in the break from the earlier.
10 out of 10. Yeah, 10 out of 10 absolutely. For trying. He's a racer, Ben, and yeah, absolutely. He said he felt shocking all day.
Yeah.
So for a guy who felt shocking, he's awesome. And I'm going to use that word awesome because even when he feels bad, he jumps up the road. So when Ben finds his form, and it's probably not going to be at this tour, but when he finds his form again, he's going to win big still, I believe. So now I'm still super positive about O'Connor because, you know, he's disappointed, he's frustrated, but gee, he's a trier.
Is the stage win still on the cards?
Oh, I think it has to be. I think it has to be because he's putting himself in the mix. He only needs one great day.
Mm-hmm.
He only needs half of a good day, to be fair. He could start the day average, make the break, and then, you know, come good and you know, deliver a knockout punch. So, yeah, absolutely. I think he's still in the mix for a stage win.
Michael Storer, very smart riding for Michael Storer, I would say, because he was in the breakaway. He looked very good for a long time, but when he got dropped, smart enough to just call it a day and getting dropped, not chasing a tenth placing on the stage. That tells me this is not what he's looking for.
No, he's being strategic. He's being very strategic. He did it in the TT yesterday. You know, lost a bunch of time in order to go for it today. He was probably just had some classier climbers there today and maybe just slightly off himself. But he's another one. He is still in the mix for a stage win. So if you talk about which Australians can win a stage, absolutely O'Connor and Storer are two key ones that can.
Yeah, we have to talk about Sweeney as well.
Sweeney and Scottson.
Sweeney and Scottson, of course. Yeah, let's talk about Scottson actually first of all. You're right. What a powerful display from Scottson.
Yeah.
As you mentioned in the interview with him, at some point he was within the 15 best riders in the world.
Yeah.
And he was rubbing shoulders with Vingegaard, with Pogacar, and looking very good because also his leader is looking good.
Yeah, brilliant. And I wanted to say that to him because sometimes, you know it later, but you're with the top 15 in the world in the world's biggest bike race.
Mm-hmm.
That's possibly the best ride Callum Scottson has done in his career. But it goes quasi unnoticed.
As the telecamine stops in mid trouble.
Yeah, that is a little bit strange. But anyway, hopefully we'll get down.
So, Scottson, looking good. How much can we read on his performance today?
Well, I think what we can read is, and again, in a couple of, I think my last question to him was, and especially with Felix Gall, because that's their main man, he had a good day. They can look forward to the third week. and, you know, hopefully climb Felix way up the standings. And, you know, you just don't know. On the outside chance, Callum could get his own opportunity.
Yeah, Callum done all his career so far at Jayco or Mitchelton or all the different outfits or Green Edge Cycling. First year with Decathlon.
Yeah.
Not bad.
Yeah, this is good. Yeah, and that's what you want. You want to give your team confidence in you. Mm-hmm. And the fact that they've put him in the tour, so that's a vote of confidence, tick. And then a day like today that he has, they'd be pretty happy with him.
Yeah, okay, let's talk about Sweeney. Now, Harry Sweeney, I mean, what a couple of weeks he has.
Yeah.
We're not reached the rest day yet. Rest day will be, there's still one more stage. But what a couple of weeks.
Yeah, he's been brilliant. And he was wrapped, you know, the first thing he asked was, where's Ben on GC, meaning Ben Healy?
Yeah, I thought he was meaning Ben O'Connor. So I was like, that's cool.
You're thinking about the Aussies.
The Aussies, I think we're just arriving as well.
Yeah, we are. So we'll try and keep talking, will we?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Harry Sweeney.
Yeah, no, he's been brilliant. And again, he's another rider. He'll look forward to that final week.
Yeah, he'll look forward to the rest there as well.
You guys have to talk about Tobias Hallam Johannessen.
Oh, here we go. We're getting some sledging. We're getting some sledging. From the Norwegians. I love that. And he's right. We should talk about Tobias Johannessen. He went on the move as well.
I think we need to hurry up as well.
Yeah, we got to get off.
We are.
Oh, we made it. There you go.
We made it out. So let's regroup just a second. This podcast is going everywhere.
Oh, we are. We're just walking out.
So we're talking about Sweeney. Sweeney, the performance from someone like Harry Sweeney. We have to be pleased with what he's doing for his team, for EF. And EF are having a great tour.
Yeah, they are. They are. They got a stage win. They've had the yellow jersey, and they could yet get another stage win. And I. They're a team I would tip to get one, actually, before this race is over, just because they're riding
on a
big high.
But like you said, they're getting greedy. They had the yellow jersey. He was saying in an interview you can find on our social media, where he was saying that they're getting strategic at dropping and maybe getting back at the GC
again.
He
goes, I would have liked to have done this. And I'm like, come on, mate, you can't manufacture everything. But that's what when your confidence is up, that's what you start to strategize and go, well, let's just do this.
Yeah.
And you do. It somehow it works. I know it sounds crazy, but the psychology of it
But it's also because their tour is already a success.
Oh, exactly.
So they can try stuff.
They got nothing to lose. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. That's right.
So there's a big one we have to talk about for Remco Evenepoel. Remco Evenepoel has pulled out of the Tour de France. So has Skelmose as well.
Yeah.
But Remco, I think it's a big news. Remco podium last year, double world champion, Olympic champion. He didn't look good for since the start of this tour, but he was hanging there. He was, you know, here and about. This is a big call for Remco to pull out. He must have not felt great at all.
We half predicted it, didn't we? Yeah. We half predicted it. He had from his account, he had a terrible TT yesterday. He got caught by Vingegaard. He's probably never been caught by anyone in an individual time trial, let alone, as you say, when you're Olympic and world champ.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, could you say the writing was on the wall? It wasn't in the morning, because Tom Steels was interviewed in the morning and he wasn't at all alluding to the fact that he might withdraw.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, you know what? I spoke to Tom Steels. Let's listen to it. So, sadly, we saw Remco being in a difficult day. Can you update us a little bit on his situation?
Yeah, no. I think it was already the third in a row that he wasn't great. And you always hope for the best, but it didn't switch over to the good side. So, it's better now to recover and to set other goals.
When you talk about other goals, we were speculating. Could it be the end of the season for Remco? You reboot for next year. There's the World Championship before. Would or should we see him at the Vuelta?
Very difficult to say now. I mean, he better goes on holiday a week or something and just reset and then see how the body reacts until he's ready to train again. It can be in a week, can be in 2 weeks, that you don't know, but at least I think it's a wise decision just now to recover well.
And then the team now, what's the target, what's the remaining objectives?
Yeah, I think Tim is still on, Malir is still here. I think we have maybe one, maybe two chances, and we will see. I think it's not over yet, and there are still breakaways to come, so the race is not over yet.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So that's Tom Steele.
And that was post-stage, obviously.
Absolutely, that was post-stage. So he has to rebuild. He's got to enjoy a nice holiday
as from now, probably with his girlfriend somewhere in the world, somewhere a lot warmer than it was today. So where to from now, from someone like Remco?
Well,
I reckon, if I just put my 2 cents to it, I reckon he won't do the Vuelta, but he might be here for the World Championship.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I mean, and you know, in some ways I say, well, Tom Steels is right. They don't know.
Yeah.
They've got to let him just, you know, he needs time to just completely switch off from the sport and reboot. And
By saying this, do you assume that the him pulling out of the race today is equally physical and mentally?
Yes. First it was physical, and then secondary, when physically you're done, mentally you start to,
yeah,
your head starts to go, because you're getting a kicking. So
but we saw him being quite relatively angry with the motorbikes around, the cameras around.
Yeah,
he didn't want to be filmed, he didn't want to be seen.
Yeah,
that's also the mindset of a winner. He's happy to be seen when he's winning, but when he's not so good, so performing, he doesn't want to be seen.
Well,
I know you disagree with
me. No, I don't disagree. Yeah. What I will say is, and I think I'll reword what you're saying is,
my English is not good enough?
No, it's not the mindset of a winner, because we see plenty of winners that are gracious in defeat.
Yeah.
Actually, he needs to improve that. He needs to actually understand, and I'm having a dig at him. He needs to understand that the cameras are going to be on you when you're winning and you're losing,
yeah,
when you're a champion, and he is a champion. So he needs to accept that when he's on a shocker, sorry, you don't make the rules.
Yeah.
TV make the rules.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Especially when you're still racing, you're still on the bike. You know, you can't be shooing away the cameras. I'm sorry. Yeah. It's reality TV, and it's sport is reality TV at its best. And in some ways, we argue it's the only reality TV left. So
the real reality TV.
Yeah, yeah.
With real life.
We're just walking past our Colombian friends there.
Yeah, I would say that just to give you an indication of what we just did, because now it's a little bit calmer. But we, from the top of Superbagnia, we took the telecabin, which we took you with us on this journey, all the way down. We are now back down at Bagnia de Luchon.
And it is pumping.
It's absolutely pumping. Yeah. And in the second part of this podcast, I want to talk about this and why this is pumping. We're walking down the street. This is a podcast that we're doing in one take, walking down the street, and there's thousands and thousands of people around us. And everyone is here for one thing, the Tour de France. But we'll talk about this in the second part of our podcast, because there's a discussion to be have about that. Okay, on GC, just to conclude the recap of the race, Pogacar never look in any problem, in any danger. He's leading the Tour de France quite healthily.
He's in a commanding position. He's in a commanding position. And you and I were saying, or you were asking me or towards the last climb, will Pog attack or will he just follow? And I said, well, you'd take a minute if you could.
But that's not his nature. Just sitting down.
No, that's right. That's
why he's sitting on the saddle, because that's what he does.
yeah. So no, look, he's in a commanding position, and the fight now is for the fight now really is for third place.
Yeah.
In the Tour, who can get third? And that is the really intriguing battle, because there are a bunch of guys who are up for this.
Yeah.
So that's I actually find it really exciting. Now we're going to watch this battle unfold.
And another competition that is unfolding nicely and very nice. Is the white jersey competition, because Remco is out again.
Yep.
He's
yep.
out of this white jersey competition.
Yep.
And that is opening up completely.
Yeah, it certainly is. It certainly is. And it was tight before Remco pulled out. The top five or six was always tight. So it's going to be, you know, it's going to be tighter now. We've got one more stage, is it? And then the rest day, or two more stages, then the rest day. So the battle for that white jersey is going to resume. And I think it's the most exciting white jersey battle we've seen in years.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because to that, it was Pog for the last three or four years.
Yeah, all the time. And then he grew older. That's it.
Yeah, he just got a bit older, thank God. Well, they're saying that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's one more stage, by the way, because there's one more stage into Carcassonne tomorrow. Okay, we take a short break, and then when we come back, guess who I found in the paddock?
Who?
I found Romain Bardet.
Oh,
and he talked
nice
to me
work.
In English, Frenchman to Frenchman in English, just for you,
I
the public.
I can't wait to listen to that.
No, but it's just for you. Like, appreciate the effort for both of us, because we could easily have had that chat
in
French.
You've got half Aussie, so come on. I look forward to it.
Okay, let's take a short break, and we come back with Romain Bardet.
Tanara is Australia's leading alternative asset investment firm. From venture capital and private equity to public markets and credit, we proudly partner with business founders and companies to help them grow their businesses and create value for investors. Led by John Wiley, former chair of the Australian Sports Commission, our team brings deep experience and a shared passion for Australian sport and cycling.
Welcome back to the SBS Cycling Podcast. As I said, in the first part of this podcast, let's talk to Romain Bardet. What a pleasure to have Romain Bardet here. On a day like this, are you happy you hang out the bike?
Yeah, I think it was an epic stage and epic racing. Not quite Aussie weather, I would say. But yeah, what a racing again we had today. Such a strong breakaway, 5 stars breakaway. And really happy that a friend of mine won with Timon, we have spent some year with. And also Oscar only also up in the GC. So no, I think it's good to see that the young guys that I met in the last year of my career are doing so well.
When you see the weather like this, how hard is it to recover on a day like this one?
I don't know if it's much harder today than when it was really hot like it was the days before. I think we should ask the rider what they prefer. For sure it's a shock to the system because they were used to you know, cool themselves down and everything. But personally, when I was a racer, I would prefer this kind of weather.
What's the life of Romain Bardet now? You're chilling out, but you're also here. A lot of motorbike, you're in and around the Tour de France. It's not so long ago you were still racing.
Yeah, I rediscovered life, I would say. You know, I see cycling now with a different perspective. I mean, I still have the passion for the racing. I like, you know, being around, trying to understand the race and, you know, see the, you know, be in this environment. But I like also to have now more balance in my life and it brings me, yeah, more happiness than, you know, just focusing on being a bike rider. So, yeah, it's still early to say, but so far I like it.
Have you caught up with Thibaut Pinot? You guys have both retired and you were some of the best French cycling for almost a generation. You shared a podium at the Tour de France. Have you been able to catch up with him and share a part of your past experience?
Not yet so far. No, so far we took a bit different path because Thibaut and his really respectable decided to not be involved in cycling anymore. So I'm having so far for me I would like to be in a way or another involved in the scene on cycling scene. But for sure I'm I would be happy when I can have a bit more time and going to see him in where he lives now.
Him and his goats.
Yes, and his goat and his fish and everything.
Merci. That was Romain Bardet, expert analyst for Eurosport. That's how he won't be called these days.
Wow.
Quick question.
He's transitioned
very quickly.
Dauphiné a month ago, and he's already like, not former ex-pro.
There's an interesting part of this podcast. I don't know if you agree with me or in this chat with him. Is the fact that he hasn't caught up with Pinot. But by respect to Thibaut Pinot, because Thibaut Pinot wants nothing to do with cycling anymore.
Really?
And Romain Bardet wants everything to do with cycling.
Yeah,
so
wow.
He said, look, I have, by respect to him, I haven't brought my world into his world.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what he said.
He's a class act, Bardet.
Absolutely.
He's a class man.
100%
class. He's class on the bike, and it's he's transitioning out as a classy guy, yeah.
So we are 19 minutes into this podcast or recording of this podcast, and we're already nearly at our car.
We've nearly made it to the car, so we better choppity chop because we've got a long drive.
But what I mean is, it's probably the quickest mountain escape that we ever had at the Tour de France.
Do not jinx us. We could have a traffic jam out of here, brother.
True.
Keep it in check.
Before we talk about the stage, which happening tomorrow, which will be the last stage of the week two of the Tour de France into Carcassonne. Let's just talk about quickly about the economics of the Tour de France, and just taking the example of a town like Luchon, like we're just leaving tonight.
Yeah.
Yesterday, you and I, we were in Luchon. we slept here,
yeah,
and we struggled to find food. And
yes,
this is not just a joke of we struggle to find food, but it made us think,
talk about and
reflect,
yeah,
about how much the Tour de France is bringing to a town. It's kind,
yeah,
of a sleepy town, Luchon.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a town that is built around thermal activities where people come and enjoy spas
and
everything.
And there's not a lot, correct me if I'm wrong,
no,
there's not a lot of five-star hotels. It's fairly old.
Exactly.
The Pyrenees are old in general, older than the Alps in terms of the settlement.
Uh-huh.
So there's not flashy five-star hotels, but it brought thousands and thousands of
thousands
people here,
and
didn't it?
Yesterday we couldn't, and we saw other TV crews, even the people of the security that are working for the Tour de France
couldn't get dinner.
Yeah.
And yeah, ITV, just, we flicked them. They'd been walking around for an hour and we somehow found a table before the English.
But, I mean, you also run tours and stuff, etc. But
yeah,
the economics that you see here,
oh,
it's just incredible that,
no,
what the tour brings into a town like this for just a couple of days.
Well, I was asked on a radio interview a couple of nights ago, and you guys were in the car with me, about, you know, is the tour losing some of its luster or this or, mm-hmm, that? And you say, and I said, and not because I'm biased, because obviously, you know, I've worked in the sport and been in it for my whole life. You come to the tour and you realise it has not lost.
Nope.
And you come to a stage like this, what we've seen, and we've seen big crowds, to be fair, mm-hmm, on pretty much every day. You say, absolutely not.
Because you worked on 19 tours. This is your 90th tour.
Yep.
So do you see any changes? In terms of the crowd, in terms
I
of
the... I think
the
crowds have stayed pretty similar in my 19 editions, because they were big 19 years ago, they're big now. So some days are bigger than others, obviously, but you and I and all of us, the whole team, SBS team that stayed here, we all were blown away by the amount of people in this town, weren't we? I mean, it's a Pyrenean stage, it's a beautiful area, but still, it was, yeah, this has sort of blown us away a bit.
Yeah, and not just today, last night as well.
Yeah,
this,
yeah,
is the thing.
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about the stage ahead of us. Tonight, if you're listening to this podcast in Australia, of course, we're going to Carcassonne. We do love Carcassonne.
The world
it's a beautiful city, Carcassonne.
Love it.
Another stage that is actually very hard to predict, that stage.
It is. It's 169 kilometres, as you said, to Carcassonne. It's not flat. It's not mountainous, but there's about three categorised climbs mid-stage.
It's not a sprint?
It's going to be an opportunist. It's so in the tipping comp, it's a hard one to tip a winner. But it will be a breakaway that will win the day, in my opinion. I'll be shocked if it comes down to a sprint finish, I'll say that much.
If you have to pick a rider or kind of rider or type of rider that can actually make it and win that stage?
It's a really good question. You know who I mean, if I go biased and talk about the Australians for a second and who's on good form? I mean, you could pick a few of them. Obviously, the name Durbridge always pops in our heads,
yeah,
because we want him to win. But he could get around this day. Someone like Harry Sweeney, because,
yeah,
I think he's in really great shape, but he might be restricted to look after Ben Healy.
If I put the name Luke Plapp?
Yes. I'm not sure it'll be hard enough for
no,
Plappy.
Okay.
Not quite sure it'll be hard enough for Plappy, but can't discount it. And then outside of that, in terms of any rider... Geez, you could throw a blanket over 50-odd riders, mm-hmm,
and
in this race.
And we're not even going to try or attempt to pretend we know.
You just
got to
think about opportunists. I mean, Sudal Quickstep now, they're,
yeah,
going to start launching up the road. Remco's gone home. So teams like that.
They still have Merlier, but
But he won't figure tomorrow. So the rest of the team now, I think, will be given a green card to go for it.
Maka, we just did a podcast and we are at the car. We've made it to.
We've done it.
So it's not just about to escape, but I think I'm not even going to cut this podcast too much because.
You're going to keep it natural.
It's natural. So sorry if we waffled on
a little bit. I was a bit flustered as we were leaving in the tally cabin. That was a bit. Because we did it without warning, and even there were eight other people in the tally cabin with us.
Yeah.
You heard, I'm not sure if they would have picked up
on the microphone,
the Norwegian giving us some sledge at the end. He was sick of listening to us, I think.
Yeah. But hey, that's the tour. Okay.
Yeah,
thank you for joining us. And of course, there's plenty of action, which will be on your screen tonight on SBS. Don't miss out. Until the next podcast, is bye for now.
The SBS Cycling Podcast was brought to you by Tanara.